Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Say one more time that it's a fantastic honor, the Gershwin family, to give me this incredible award and for me to be awarded it by the Library of Congress. And in fact, after the last 8 years, it's great to have a president who knows what a library is.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments?
Tell them
on Israel?
Get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Tell us one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You think the Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
He's a real nowhere man.
Welcome to the Fourth Reich, ladies and gentlemen. Fourth Reich now has its minstrels and its defenders. The minstrel being the nowhere man, Paul McCartney, who has the nerve to use that cheap shot at George Bush that he didn't know what a library was. I want to remind this illiterate moron from Liverpool that Bush has a real MBA from Harvard, while Paul McCartney never went to college. That's number one. Number two, who the hell is this Library of Congress of ours that they give the award to a non-American? I mean, you want to look into this? I looked into it. Why should the Gershwin Prize for popular song be given to a non-American is what I'd like to know. There's only one reason that Obama wanted Paul McCartney, communist, to get that award. And that was because he wanted to have this minstrel sing the song Michelle in the White House. That's number one. But the biggest outrage of the day is not Paul McCartney. It's not who got the Gershwin Prize. It's not the fact that his song Nowhere Man was obviously an autobiographical tune. Only the idiot in from Liverpool didn't know it. The biggest outrage is that the Hitler in a girdle, Hitler's wife in a girdle, Helen Thomas, had the nerve to say, and I'll play it for you again, that Jews should get the hell out of Palestine and go back to Germany and Poland. This is exactly the same rhetoric that was used during Hitler's era in Germany. And that old piece of crap, that old piece of garbage in a girdle should be thrown out of the White House press corps. In fact, I'm going to stop right here. If she ever appears again and the Jewish reporters don't go up to her and say shame on you, then you will know that they also belong to the Judenrat. You will know that they also belong to the same group of Jew haters who led Jewish children into the gas chambers. You don't know about that phase of Jewish history, do you? You don't know anything, most of you. All you know how to do is Twitter. You don't know that there were Jews who led Jewish children into the gas chambers to stay alive another day. That's the White House press corps. Oh, we hear that there's a Zionist media. So you're telling me that Helen Thomas is a member of the Zionist media who says the Jews should go back to Germany and Poland? I want to remind you of something. The Bible was written by Jews. It's God's word. The Jews were in Palestine 5,000 years ago. They didn't arrive there in 1947. But this is the big lie of the communist left. This is the big lie that you radical leftists have not only bought lock, stock, and barrel, many of you Jewish, by the way, but this is the big lie that you continue to offer because you're all part of the international communist conspiracy. You would rather see the world become Bolshevik, wouldn't you? You wouldn't care if another 6 million Jews died as long as your communist revolution could be realized. Don't tell me I don't know history. I know history and I see it repeating itself. And so again, if you missed it, here is Helen Thomas, the queen of the White House press corps, when asked what the Jews should do.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments on Israel?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments than that?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied. And it's their land. Not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You're saying Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
I rest my case. Those nasty little Jews, if only they leave Palestine and go back to Germany and Poland. Now, I want to remind you that Hitler said that he didn't want to kill the Jews. He wanted them to go home to Palestine. So they went home to Palestine, and now Hitler's girlfriend in a girdle, Helen Thomas, says they should get the hell out of Palestine and go home to Germany. So you see, it's those nasty Jews again. If only those 6 million. See, there were 6 million killed, let's say, in World War II. And now there are 6 million Jews around the world. If only those nasty 6 million would disappear, why, the world would be safe for communism, wouldn't it? Well, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, how much more do you need to know until you finally understand that your liberal friends are actually fascists? What is it going to take for you idiots who think that you're liberals to understand that you're nothing but useful tools of the international communist conspiracy? You want to talk about that? Go ahead. You want to talk about the blockade to keep Hamas from getting weapons that will wipe Israel off the planet? Do you want to talk about the fact that Iran was found to have delivered heavy weapons through the Gaza port several times in the past, and that's why Israel must defend itself from these so-called love boaters? Love boat. It's interesting to me that these liberals, so-called, on the love boat, are almost direct descendants of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade from the 1930s. If you know anything about history, there was an Abraham Lincoln Brigade led mainly by communists from Brooklyn who went over to fight against the fascists in Spain, so they said. They were some of the most ruthless, bloodthirsty murderers in history. They butchered people. When they caught the Spanish soldiers, they tortured them in caves. They tormented them, tortured them, and killed them. I can cite case record on this, on what the good communists did in the Spanish Civil War. But the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, you may not know, you are probably a child who went to college somewhere 10, 15 years ago. You were taught that they were the good guys. What you don't know is they were part of the international communist world movement to take over the world. And right now, when you look at the people from Ireland, from San Francisco, from Brooklyn, on those ships heading to Israel in favor of the Palestinians and Hamas and Iran, what you have is a repeat of history. And you're seeing once again that the international communist left is composed of the very same fascists that made up the Hitler movement. Only they're on the other side of the coin, but they're no different. And as a matter of fact, there was no difference between Stalin and Hitler, as you well know, as you well probably don't know. You don't know there was no difference between Stalin and Hitler at the end of the day. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm not going to ask you a question. Or would you rather I talk about the nowhere man, Paul McCartney? Or would you rather I talk about Obama's going from balls of oil to soccer balls? Or shall we say from soccer balls to balls of oil? He actually was in the White House this morning welcoming soccer champions in the midst of the greatest ecological disaster in the history of this nation. That's what this moron president of ours is doing. That's what this incompetent loser is doing while we are facing the greatest ecological disaster in American history. We have the most incompetent boob in the history of America running the White House. Oh, yes, he's down there after the soccer event. Rolled up his sleeves, don't you know? Rolled up his sleeves, but still no military or naval presence to help. Still no permits issued to the state of Louisiana to let them build the sand berms. Still no thought coming from the White House on what to do to stop this other than to sue. Because you see, Obama got everywhere in his life with help from a little help from his friends, as the Beatles once wrote. I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. And if those friends happen to be psycho lawyers who sue or threaten to sue, and you can get into Yale basing it on lawsuits or threaten to sue, even though your grades may not have been up to it, but we can sue based on affirmative action, therefore you become a Yale law student. And then if you can't get out of Yale, you sue and say the tests weren't written to accommodate you, then you get a law degree. Then you come out and you become a community organizer, and again, through lawsuits, you get everything in life, and then you appoint another nut job who got everything in life by suing or threatening to sue, named Eric Holder. And now what the two idiots are doing is, instead of fixing the problem, we're trying to help Louisiana fix the problem. What are they doing? The two idiots running the country, suing or threatening to sue. And what does he do in the midst of all of this? He has a song fest in the White House. Drill performs for him, singing a tune to his wife. It's utterly unbelievable to me. We'd have to live 50 years from now and have a sane government and a sane biographer to understand the disaster that we're living through. We're living through the greatest natural disaster in American history, which is an incompetent president foisted upon us by George Soros. I'll be right back. Savage.
Any comments on Israel? We're arresting everybody today. Any comments?
Tell them
on
to
Israel?
Get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments on that?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied. And it's their land. Not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You're saying Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
That's Helen Thomas, left-wing icon. And I have a question. Why do Jews keep voting for the DNC? Haven't the Jews understood that they're digging their own grave? These people have thrown lime in the grave for you, and they're waiting for you to be thrown in it. I don't understand this. Now, Helen Thomas was born in Winchester, Kentucky, to Lebanese immigrants from Tripoli, Lebanon. Unto itself, that doesn't explain why she hates Jews, because there are many Lebanese Christians who don't hate Jews, but she's one of those who does. But if Helen Thomas was alone in her ideas, we wouldn't even be playing it because she's a has-been. I have a suspicion, though, that most leftists agree with Helen Thomas. In fact, most Jewish leftists agree with Helen Thomas. And that is why there's going to be World War III. Because there's not a nation on earth that's willing to simply disappear because a group of antiquated communists want them to die. They better be very, very careful what they're playing with here. Israel is a nuclear-armed nation. Israel has a right and an obligation to defend its citizenry. And if they're pushed, they will use nuclear weapons. This is not a good scenario for anyone. It will happen, though. And if you think that this old hag is alone, or she's senile, you are mistaken. Over and over and over again, it's the same story. Hitler said the same thing. He wanted the Jews to leave Germany and go back to their homeland. And when someone said, where is their homeland? He said, Palestine. Let them go to Palestine. This was before he exterminated the Jews he could get his hands on. So they went to their homeland in Palestine. And now we wake up in the year 2010 and we find out that the left-wing press corps believes what Hitler said is true, only that in reverse, they should go back to their homeland in Germany or Poland. And you Jews who vote Democrat, I would say you should be ashamed of yourself, but I know most of you are like Woody Allen. Most of you have the mind of Larry David or Woody Allen or people of that, let us say, creativity and low capacity for intellect. And you don't even understand what you're saying half the time. You assume that because you made money in your chosen profession that you are intelligent. What you don't understand is you have perhaps a high IQ when it comes to making money, perhaps a high IQ when it comes to creativity, but a very, very moronic IQ when it comes to self-preservation. So let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Let me ask you another question. If the Jews were to be to lose to Hamas, or to Iran in this case, because Hamas is a front for Iran, many people say that the Israel is the cork that contains the pus of radical Islam from spreading across the globe. If Israel were to lose, do you think that your life would be safer or less safe? If, on the other hand, Israel finally smashed its enemies the way it's going to have to do because its back is to the wall, do you think your life would be safer? I personally think that the radical Islamists would crawl back into their holes. If Israel ever really got tough under a Golda Meir, I think we'd have 50 years of safety on the planet. That's my personal opinion. And if they keep pushing little David around, David's going to give them a black eye. David's going to kill Goliath. I can guarantee you it's going to happen. No way in history. I don't care whether you believe the Bible or you believe history. Israel will only be pushed so far. And then eventually, even happen, I don't know. Certainly not in the form of Netanyahu or the other men who can't seem to get their act straight. You're telling me they have no right to prevent Iran from building a seaport 10 miles from Israel where they're going to bring in heavy weapons to destroy their citizens? Are you people insane? Didn't John F. Kennedy create a blockade to prevent the Soviet Union from bringing nuclear weapons to Cuba? And you supported John F. K.? You don't remember that? Why did John F. Kennedy create a blockade around Fidel Castro's Cuba? It was to prevent Castro from getting nuclear weapons on his shore as a proxy of the Soviet Union. You remember that? So tell me why Israel has no right to defend itself from a nation like Iran, which is using a proxy called Hamas, where they will bring in heavy weaponry, which will wipe Israel off the map. How much do you have to know that you don't understand this, that you can't understand this? And yet 90% of Jews vote for Obama. If at least 90% of Jews voted for the man who is now trying to destroy Israel, go think. Go think of people that consider themselves so smart in business, so smart in medicine, so smart in law, so smart in so many things, and yet a zero when it comes to self-survival. How is that possible? How could the Jews be absolute morons when it comes to survival? The American Jew, how can they be so idiotic to not have seen this from a mile away? To have elected an unknown man of unknown origins, a man who's probably not even an American citizen. How could the whole military not know this? How could the entire military establishment not be asking the same question that millions of Americans are asking? Do you think it's plausible that the entire United States military complex does not understand the extreme dangers of having a commander-in-chief with dual allegiances in the White House is? Do they not understand that the presidency may have been usurped by a foreign power? The country is falling apart on a daily basis. And yet we're supposed to believe that our entire government does not believe there's a problem with a virtual unknown as a president, when over and over again he has shown that his loyalties do not lie with this nation, and that he's incompetent, and that he's anti-business, and that he's anti-American.
Savage.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments on Israel?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments on that?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied. And it's their land. Not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You're saying Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
That's a member of the White House press corps, Helen Thomas, whose credentials, by the way, should be stripped immediately. If we had a legitimate press corps, which we don't, Helen Thomas's press credentials would be stripped immediately. Could you imagine if a white reporter said that African Americans should go home, and someone said to the white reporter, no matter how old he was, "Well, where is home?" And he says, "Africa." And then the reporter shockingly says, "Where is their home? Africa. Why, the African Americans don't belong here. This isn't their home. They should go home to Africa." Do you think that that reporter would be allowed in the White House press corps the next second? You know that they wouldn't. Then why is this Nazi witch not stripped of her White House credentials? The answer is because they agree with her. Don't you understand? They agree with her. Let's start at the top. Do you actually believe that there's no leadership within the U.S. military intelligence complex that does not understand the dangers that we are in as a result of having a commander-in-chief with dual allegiances, partly in the Muslim world and partly perhaps in the American world? Do you actually believe that there are no people in the USA military intelligence complex that do not think that perhaps the office of the presidency has been usurped by a foreign power? Why do I even ask this question? Because the USA is falling apart one day at a time. And you're telling me that someone in the government, somewhere at the top of the military intelligence complex, hasn't thought that maybe, wait a minute, this man is not even eligible under the U.S. Constitution to be POTUS? That his father was not even a U.S. citizen? His father was a British subject at the time of Obama's birth. Therefore, Obama was not and is not legal to be POTUS. I have told you before that if Obama had applied to become an FBI agent or his own Secret Service agent, he would have been rejected immediately. He would not have met the criteria to be a Secret Service agent. And yet he's president. Take it on the fact of what I just said. Now, let me ask you another question. Let's start at the top. Let us start at the top of this conspiracy cycle. Let us say that there is a conspiracy of the elites, whether it be George Soros or other members of the Bilderberg group, whoever they may be, who want an international socialist slash fascist system of world governance, where they want to destroy the sovereignty of every nation on earth and create sort of a new egg. The new omelet is called the New World Order, and there's one world government. The people have no power, and that government is run by the moneymakers to continue to enrich themselves because there's never enough money for psychopaths. So tell me if this is not plausible. This secretive group of the socialist fascist international group that wants to destroy the country starts by trying to destroy the financial stability of a liberty-centered nation like the U.S. of A., and they try to destroy the economy of a liberty-centered country like the USA by manipulating the stock market in order to break it down, and build it all over from scratch. What might they do in the face of a crisis like the Gulf oil crisis? How about nothing? Might they not also seek to spend this nation into financial ruin, much in the same way as Ronald Reagan forced the Soviets to spend themselves into financial and social ruins? Remember how Reagan broke the Soviet Union? He forced the Soviet Union into financial ruin by forcing them to spend themselves into financial and social ruin, exactly the way Obama is doing to this country. And what further to my argument, let us say these internationalists who hate the sovereignty of this nation and the sovereignty of every other nation want to destroy a culture. How would they go about destroying the culture of this nation? Well, they would ignore or snub their noses at the nation's sacred national observances. For example, they wouldn't attend the Arlington National Memorial Cemetery on Memorial Day. They would snub their noses at the traditional religious foundations of America, and they would not support National Prayer Day. The president wouldn't go to a church. The first president in history would not go to church on Sunday. So don't you understand what I'm saying to you? The credo of the savage nation, ever since I began a radio in 1994, has been borders, language, and culture as a definition of a nation. Can you name a nation on earth that is not defined by its borders, its language, and its culture? I do not know of one. So if you're out to destroy nations, per se, you erase their borders the way first Clinton did, then Bush did, and now Obama's doing, and you take the side of the illegal alien over the citizen. That's what that battle's about. They want to erase the border with Mexico in order to dilute America, destroy America, weaken America, and drug America. Very much the same way the British destroyed China by controlling it through opium. Read your history about opium and what it did to the Chinese people. Britain flooded China with opium in order to dope up the nation, in order to control millions of Chinese. And it was only when the Boxer Rebellion occurred that the British were kicked out. Their fine white behinds were kicked out of China by the Boxer Rebellion, during the Boxer Rebellion, when a national group of martial artists got their act together and threw the British out of China and banned opium and burned opium and killed opium dealers. And then China started to recover. Why do you think they want the border with Mexico erased? To continue the drug scourge on the citizenry so that your child can be in rehab instead of learning about American history. So your child can be in prison instead of learning about American history. So that you can be nothing. So they can remanipulate the nation, remake the nation in their own image, whatever that may be. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't care what they destroy. Their madness is endless. Their quest for power is madness unto itself. It's the same quest for power that we saw in the last century, repeating itself and rearing its ugly head all over again. And now they have their stooge. Now they put their stooge in power. Who is the stooge? Where did he come from? Who was this genius stooge that 5 years ago you never heard of him? Who was this genius stooge that no one heard of him 4 years ago? Did he win a Nobel Prize for curing cancer or polio? Did he go in some secret missions in the military and distinguish himself as a great military leader? It's unheard of. He came from nowhere. With money from nowhere. We don't know where the money came from. And now we see things going on and people are scratching their head. They say, wait a minute. You could argue over virtually everything else. We couldn't believe he would say he wants to take down one-third of America's nuclear arsenal and give Russia the advantage. We couldn't believe it when he said he wants to destroy NASA and give the Russians the ability to fly into a manned orbit while we are on the Russian spacecrafts, launchers, as passengers. We become passive in the world of space exploration, thereby giving over to Russia the advantage in space weaponry. We scratch our heads every day. We say, is this just idiocy or is this part of a plan? I don't think it's idiocy. I think it's part of a plan to destroy this great nation. I believe it's been destroyed from within. I believe that the people who've been out to destroy this nation and break it apart and rebuild it have finally put a man in place to do it as fast as possible. Now let's go back to the issues of the day. You've got the Gulf Coast. Let's not get too esoteric because I realize that if you're a logical person, you followed every word I just said and you agree with me. If you are an illogical person and an emotional person who hates America because you have been brainwashed in America's propaganda institutions called the schools to hate America, you disagree with what I said, not because I am illogical, but because you cannot reason. You have no reason. You simply have emotion. And your emotions say America is no good. America is no good? America is no good. America is no good. So we see a man breaking down the cultural institutions of America on a daily basis. He doesn't go to Arlington National Cemetery. Instead, he tries to have a little sideshow up there in a cemetery outside Chicago. And what happens on Monday? What happened? God rained out his fake speech to the troops. God made him stop speaking after a minute or a few minutes. God sees the truth but waits. I am telling you that God sees it, but most of you don't see it. He would not even let Obama get away with a fake speech to the military at that cemetery in Illinois. He rained it out. Do you remember that one? And what did Obama do that very night? He comes back to Washington to listen to a serenade by an illiterate Brit who never went to college, which I don't hold against him. I've met many people who never went to college who are very smart. But this illiterate Brit, America-hating Brit, Paul McCartney, has the nerve to come into my country. Be given an award, by the way, for an American composer, by the way, an American composer. The Gershwin Prize for Popular Song was given last year to Stevie Wonder. By the way, Stevie Wonder, an American artist. That we can accept. Fine. Stevie Wonder's a great composer or singer, right? Great artist. But why would it be given to a foreigner? Why would Obama choose to give it not to a jazz artist? I would have even accepted a rap artist, if that's what you like. I don't like rap, but it's an American it's American music. How about a country singer? How about a blues singer from the 60s or 50s? How about a folk singer? How about an American gospel singer? Why not rock, jazz, country, pop, blues, folk, or gospel? Why was the award given by the Library of Congress last night to a foreigner? Why'd they give it to Paul McCartney? And then the communist McCartney, the international communist, who, by the way, probably did more harm with his lyrics than any single man on earth. So you say you want to have a revolution. In other words, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Broke down an entire generation's decency with his filthy lyrics. So they give it to Paul McCartney. And the first thing this Brit says is he's glad to be getting it in the Library of Congress from a president who understands what a library is. And the audience breaks into laughter and cheers. When it was George Bush, who I was not a great defender of, by the way, who actually earned a real MBA from Harvard, while this McCartney creep from Liverpool never went to college. And then we wake up the next day and we hear a soundbite from a person who has White House press credentials, who says that the Jews should be kicked out of Israel and go back and be sent back to Poland or Germany. And she is not stripped of her White House credentials immediately. Now, before I take my break, all of you liberals who are illogical, I'll put it in a way that you might be able to understand this. Let us say there was a white reporter, and he's asked, let's say there's a crisis somewhere in Africa, which there has been and always will be, because there's a crisis everywhere on the earth. And he says, well, there's a crisis with Africans, in Oakland, California, African-Americans. Or there's a crisis with African-American crime somewhere in America. And the white reporter says, they ought to go back to where they came from. And the reporter says, where is that, Helen? And she says, well, all the Africans should go back where they came from. They should go back to Africa. Tell me if that reporter would have White House press credentials the next day. Think about it, schmucks. I'll be back.
Savage.
You've got a situation in which Israel has legitimate security concerns when they've got missiles raining down on cities along the Israel-Gaza border. So Israel has a legitimate concern there. On the other hand, you've got a blockade up that is preventing people in Palestinian Gaza from having job opportunities and being able to create businesses and engage in trade and have opportunity for the future.
Total bull crap and a total lie. The fact of the matter is, you may not know this, is that every week 10,000 tons of food, medicine, and other humanitarian supplies are sent by Israel into Gaza. Let me repeat that in case you didn't read that in your local communist rag. Every week, Israel sends 10,000 tons of food, medicine, and other humanitarian supplies into Gaza. So why is it that the communists aboard the peace flotilla want to bring in, they say, food, medicine, other humanitarian supplies? They're not bringing in weapons because they'd be caught. That would be the end of it. Because they want to try to embarrass Israel into lifting the blockade so that then the ships can start flowing into Gaza as they were in the past. And on the ships, there will be heavy weapons from Iran that will wipe Israel off the map. Now, do you think the United States of America would permit this? For example, if a foreign entity wanted to wipe America off the map and said so, and they were located in Baja, Mexico. Let's say Baja, Mexico is another nation. And the residents of Baja said, we hate America. We want you to disappear. Do you think America would let a foreign power like Iran or whatever the case may be bring in weaponry that could obliterate San Diego into Baja? Of course we wouldn't. That's what a military is for. Now, of course, the enemy is very smart. They know that the internationalists are easily swayed by their emotions, the Larry Davids of the world, the very clever minstrels of the world, and the comedians who think they're so smart because they make jokes, like Larry David and Woody Allen. They would say, well, they're not bothering anybody. They just want to bring in humanitarian aid. I don't really understand it. You know, I don't really understand it. What's the big deal? You want a corned beef? You want a seltzer? I'm from Brooklyn. I know everything. I'm a wisecracker. Look how far I got on HBO and Showtime. It shows you how smart I am. Look at the amount of money I made in Hollywood. I must know everything. So you would say, well, they're only bringing in humanitarian supplies, so why not let it go in? Because they don't know the rest of the story. You got a little nation that has to survive. It can't disappear and go back to Germany and Poland the way Helen Thomas would like them to go back to. First of all, that's not a legal possibility. Second of all, would you go back to your country of origin because the Mexicans want Los Angeles, San Diego, Arizona, and New Mexico, and a half of Chicago? What if you went along with La Raza, which is a front group for the retaking of the Southwest? La Raza is a foreign entity, as far as I am concerned. La Raza represents, and they're in the White House, by the way, La Raza represents the most violent elements of the Hispanic supremacist movement. Only they're the diplomats of the supremacist movement. They put a nice face on it, the same way that this peace flotilla did. So La Raza gets into the White House under this enemy of the American way, Obama, and La Raza now is trying to not only erase the border, but erase your reality of the drugs, the weapons, the crime that are coming over the border. So what if La Raza said, we want you to go home? All you citizens of San Diego, Arizona, New Mexico, Los Angeles, all the way up to Monterey, California, we want you to leave your houses and go back where you came from. This is Mexican land. We want it back, and we want you out of there now. Would you leave? Many of you are liberals. You voted for Obama, but you're not able to look in your own backyard. You're willing to give up your house in San Diego or Los Angeles or in Arizona or New Mexico. You're going to leave it and give it back to Mexico? You wouldn't do that, would you? But you want the Jews to do that? So don't you see the absurdity of your position? It's very easy to look on and say, oh, you should leave. You should leave. And they're not going to leave. All you're going to do is push David to the wall, and David will slay Goliath all over again. The Bible is real. We're living through biblical times. I don't need anybody to agree with me. And I know many of you do and many of you don't. I know that history is repeating itself in many different ways. And I know and I can see, as a casual reader of the Bible, that we are seeing biblical times all over again. All over again. And if you ask me who Obama is biblically, I have several ideas. There's no direct comparison, but he is definitely, in my opinion, he is one of the Egyptian pharaohs. He is a pharaonic figure. If you were to seek out a figure, an archetype of Obama, it would be a pharaonic figure for those of you who deal in such things. Some figure of a pharaoh of ancient Egypt is now running the United States of America, by the way. If you want to work on that, go ahead and then get back to me. Think amongst yourselves. San Francisco, Norman, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael. I'm calling regarding what you said about Paul McCartney. About, you know, I think that what he wasn't trying to be a comedian. I think that he was being somewhat appropriate insofar as that he was saying that, you know, George Bush, you know, he did cut a lot in education.
He said George Bush, it's good to have a president who knows what a library is, but George Bush has an MBA from Harvard while McCartney never went to college. How does that figure?
He was a C-grade student.
And, well, but McCartney was a zero student. Does McCartney know what a library is?
Yes, I believe Paul McCartney did.
How would you believe? Why do you believe it does? The man promulgated drugs, sex, and rock and roll for the last 50 years. What makes you think he believes in civilization? He's a devil as far as I'm concerned.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Comments on Israel? We're arresting everybody today. Any comments?
Tell them
on
to
Israel?
Get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments on that?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews.
Germany.
You're saying Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
9 out of 10 Jews voted for Obama. 9 out of 10 Jews think Helen Thomas is a fair-minded reporter. 9 out of 10 American Jews have dug their own graves and they don't even know it. This is, of course, one man's opinion. I realize that if you're a fan of Woody Allen or Larry David, you disagree with me. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Now, I allege that the media is controlled by a certain type. And the media is continuously biased against other certain types. Case in point. Headline Yahoo News. The South Carolina race. Lee Atwater would be proud or ashamed of both. And they're talking about a campaign going on in South Carolina where a Republican or GOP gubernatorial candidate, Nikki Haley, a Christian of Indian Sikh descent, and for now that may be offensive unto itself, but I find it less offensive, for example, than a White House press reporter saying the Jews in Israel should go back to Germany or Poland. In fact, it's far more serious if someone with White House press credentials says a thing like that and does not have her credentials stripped the very next second. But for those of you who are incapable of understanding the severity of what Helen Thomas said, I will have to put it in context so that even you the brainwashed masses of the American educational establishment will understand it. Let us say there was a crisis in crime amongst African Americans in Oakland, California, or Richmond, California, or in Chicago, or somewhere else. And someone said, a White House reporter said, what is your solution? And the White House reporter said, well, the Africans should go back where they came from. Where is that, Miss Reporter? Well, Africa, of course. That's where they came from. Do you think there would be outrage? Do you think that White House press reporter would have the credentials yanked? Do you think that Yahoo News would say that that is an outrage, ugly twist in the saga of the Obama White House? I think so, but this didn't happen, did it? It's funny to me that the Jews are in the news every day again today, one way or the other. And it's funny to me how the radical left hates the state of Israel but claims they're not anti-Semitic. And I want to remind you again of a quote, and then I'll tell you who said it. I had it in one of my previous books. He said, this man said, make no mistake about it, there is no such thing as anti-Zionism, it is anti-Semitism. He said, make no mistake about it, there's no such thing as anti-Zionism, it's anti-Semitism, none other than Martin Luther King Jr. Not taught in the schools today because the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons of the world, those fine examples of civility, are the ones who rule today, not the Martin Luther King Jr.'s. So he said, make no mistake about it. There's no such thing as an anti-Zionist. They're anti-Semites. It was Martin Luther King Jr. I guess you'll have to revise your history now the next time you mention Martin Luther King Jr. So we can talk about this if you wish. We can talk about the unknown president if you wish. We can talk about the puppet government of the internationalist, socialist system of governance that is emerging on the globe. And we can ask again, as I'll ask again in this hour, what if this internationalist group, this Bilderbergs that we're meeting right now, you want to call them the Bilderberg group, you can, they want a new world order, they want one world government, they want a ruling elite where the people don't vote and they have no power whatsoever over their lives. And they put a puppet president into the United States, and in order to break the power, the integrity of the United States, meaning its nationhood, to destroy the nationhood itself, what would you do? Well, you'd melt down the borders, and you would side with the illegal alien drug gangs over the citizens and over the police. That's number one. You would then weaken the financial stability of a liberty-centered nation like the United States of America in order to say that there's a crisis and you have to come in and take over the finances of the country in order to save it. And you'd take $1 trillion out of the future of America, and you'd say it's going to create jobs, and it turns out that on the date of June 4th, 2010, you find out that the jobs are all in the governmental sector in the form of census workers. And then what else you would do to break the nation is that you'd have the greatest ecological disaster in history and you'd do nothing in order to make the crisis worse so you could step in and take over the oil drilling business. Right? So you spend the nation into financial ruin. Why? Didn't Ronald Reagan force the Soviets to spend themselves into financial and social ruin? So the internationalists could be trying to force us into financial ruin in order to break the country. Now, what do you do about destroying the culture? Remember, Michael Savage defined a nation as defined by borders, language, and culture. How do you destroy a culture? Well, you have a president, an unknown president, a man who was unknown 2 years ago or 3 years ago, comes into power. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't respect the Bible. He thumbs his nose at the institutions of America's culture one day at a time. And he stubs his nose at the sacred national observances, such as Memorial Day, where he won't even go to Arlington. Instead, he goes to a barbecue in Chicago. And, of course, you then snub your nose at the traditional religious foundations of America, and you adopt yourself to worshiping a foreign religion that is centered somewhere else on earth. And what else would you really do to undermine a liberty-centered nation? You would try to put somebody on the Supreme Court who is A, unqualified, and B, a lifetime left-wing fanatic along the lines of Elena Kagan. You know, she's suddenly wearing lipstick and makeup and jewelry, which I find, again, to be shockingly apt when you know the parable of lipstick on a pig, that you can put lipstick on a pig and it's still a pig? Elena Kagan is a radical leftist apparatchik. She has been from the beginning. She is not qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. She is in the same league as Helen, as Myers, the one that I helped get rejected for the Supreme Court. If you remember, it was I who pointed out that Bush's pick for the Supreme Court, Myers, was not qualified. She was a nonentity. Remember, and I asked you to email that if you vote for Myers, we're going to throw you out of office. Don't you remember? That's when the Republicans held power, and you helped get that woman rejected from the Supreme Court. And thank God we did, because we got at least a centrist with a brain. And now we hear that this woman suddenly with makeup and lipstick and cheap jewelry is suddenly a great legal scholar. Well, she isn't the great legal scholar. She's simply a diehard left-wing fanatic who has used threats and lawsuits her entire life, both to get into law school and then to get onto the committees and then to become a this and then a that. She's never been a judge. Never. She's never been a judge. She's unqualified to be a Supreme Court justice, but you're going to live with her for 40 years. So today, late on Friday, the papers are released. Clinton-era documents are released today. And Obama's going to use executive privilege to withhold even more damning information about the lipstick-wearing Elena Kagan, who as near as 3 months ago was not wearing lipstick. Now she's got pearls. It's almost laughable. Pearls and lipstick and bad earrings. And they gave her a hairdo, a hair job to make her look like a woman. Affirmative action, she says, is good law and good politics. She defended late-term abortion ban veto. Remember that? You know what late-term abortion is, don't you? It's called infanticide by any other name. You take a nine-month-old baby, you rip it out of the womb screaming and crying, and then you kill it. That's called late-term abortion. Everyone was against it. She's in favor of it, as was Bill Clinton. That's what they've been hiding. We just found this out today. How about affirmative action? Affirmative action is racism, pure and simple. It says that if a white person and a black person or a Hispanic person get the same grades and have the same background, the white person has to go to the back of the bus. She says it's good law and good politics. She says affirmative action is necessary. She said the Solicitor General had exactly the right position legally and politically. So she's not only in the liberal wing of the Supreme Court when it comes to affirmative action, she's in the far left wing of the Supreme Court when it comes to these topics. If she is to be nominated, if Elena Kagan is nominated for the Supreme Court, she will make Ruth Bader Ginsburg look like a moderate. And you will never get over this appointment. It will never go away. You'll never see this end. So again, it goes back to the primary idea that there are people out to destroy America as you know it. Economy, finances, a crisis, you do nothing about it. You snub your nose at the culture. You snub your nose at the nation's sacred national observances. You snub your nose at traditional religious foundations. You weaken the nation's legal foundations. You don't adhere to any law. You pay no respect to the law. When you're caught trying to give someone a job like Sestak, you say it's not a problem because my attorney general said it's not a problem. The next week, it turns out that a guy named Romanoff was offered a job. That's not a problem either because we're the law and we say what the law is. Go ahead. What are you going to do about it? So you undermine the nation's legal foundations. You don't respect or adhere to its common law. You do not respect any of its laws except those that give you more power. And so the liberty-centered nation, where the individual is supreme, suddenly starts to shake at its core. And you find out that those people responsible to uphold those laws are, in fact, the lawbreakers, not the lawmakers. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Comments on Israel? We're arresting everybody today. Any comments?
Tell them
on
to
Israel?
Get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews.
Germany.
So the Jews go back to Poland and Germany.
And America and everywhere else.
So there's Hitler in a girdle, Helen Thomas, and yet she has not yet been stripped of her White House credentials. That's the world you're living in. And look, in 1998, I gave a speech, Beware the Government Media Complex. It was at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. There was one man who was a conservative on the board who managed to get me in there. There's never been another conservative that I know of. I haven't seen it. Maybe there have been. It's all left-wing propaganda all the time in the media, you know, with the exceptions of some websites. Do I have to name them and give you the caveat every time I say that? Now you understand what we mean by the government media complex. Now, if Helen Thomas is not stripped of her White House credentials, then you know that Obama agrees with her. And that you know that the other empty skirts called White House Press Corps, the empty suits and the empty skirts, are exactly in league with her. Because they should turn their backs on her, if not spit in her face. Either spit in her face, rip her credential off her dress, whatever you have to do, because it's like watching a Nazi appear all of a sudden. What, because she's an old woman, she's sacrosanct? We mean there were no women Nazis cheering for Hitler? There were no women in the streets throwing flowers when Hitler went by. It was all men, huh? So here we have a picture right in front of your eyes. You don't have to go any further than this. San Diego, Dennis, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I you know, I'm beside myself. I could not believe what this woman said. Gosh. She is a Nazi. She's a total liberal.
Well, we know that, but why do you think she still has her White House press credentials? This is a national issue right now. She should be stripped of her White House credentials right now, yes or no?
She has cobwebs in her head. I mean,
well, no, let's forget with the childish statements about cobwebs and Nazi. It's all true. Should Helen Thomas have her White House press credentials stripped immediately? Yes or no? New York City, WOR, New York City, Marcia, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I just want to tell you that I'm Israeli. My husband is in Israel right now getting medical treatment. And the American people really have to wake up because, you know, we're headed back to another Holocaust.
Well, if Israel permits another Holocaust, they're not powerless Jews without weapons sitting in a shtetl hiding waiting for the bad Nazi to get them, are they?
No, but it's really...
But they don't have the nerve to use the weapons they have because they've lost leadership. They've lost the ability to defend themselves. Because they don't have a Golda Meir anymore. They have compromised gentlemen running Israel who want to be like the Western gentlemen who are telling them what to do. By the way, where is Rahm Emanuel? He's been gone for 3 weeks. Why is this not an issue? Why am I the only one asking the question, where is Rahm Emanuel? If we had a fair press in America, wouldn't that? It's the most naked question I've ever seen. Crisis after crisis. And the president's chief of staff is gone, missing in action. And not one schmuck in the major media says, where is Rahm Emanuel? This is going on now for 3 weeks. It just shows you. It shows you how badly you need talk radio. You know, it doesn't matter whether you agree with me on most of the things I say or disagree with me. You're much better off with a man like me who tells you the truth than lies to you. Because with a man who tells you the truth the way he sees it, at least you have a beginning to have an argument. But if you have a deceiver and a liar speaking to you, do I have to spell out who I'm talking about? If you have deceivers and liars printing the news, speaking to you, feeding you lies, you can't argue with the lie, can you? Because there's no center to it. So you're much better off having a man who you may despise giving you the truth, isn't it? Isn't that a truth? Or would you rather not have the truth given to you? Would you rather just have the government tell you what is correct and what is incorrect? Would you like to see the government telling you everything that they want you to know along the lines of China, the way Thomas Friedman of the New York Times said the other day, just imagine with a laugh, another Larry David, Friedman. The great journalist, Thomas Friedman. If only we could be China, he said, and everyone can get out of the way of Obama. Thomas Friedman, Jewish from New York, New York Times, Jewish, wants fascism in America. Woody Allen says if only there was no Republican Party, we'd have a perfect world, basically. And you don't understand the world you're living in, the danger you're in. But the mask has been ripped off.
Savage.
Any comments on Israel? We're arresting everybody today. Any comments on Israel?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied. And it's their land. Not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You say the Jews go back to Poland and Germany.
And America and everywhere else.
Now, this is a member of the White House press corps. Her name is Helen Thomas. You may know her as the cranky old woman who always asks sort of, you know, irrelevant, shocking questions. And everyone has thought she's brilliant and such. I'm asking you if you think this is sufficient evidence that she has a bias that disqualifies her from being a member of the White House press corps and whether she should have her credentials removed. Again, I have to put it in context because many of you good liberals are so tolerant that you would disagree with that idea. And you would say, no, it's just another opinion and it's shared by many. Well, what if a white reporter had said African-Americans in Oakland, or because the crime is so high, should go back to Africa? Tell me what you would think then. Would you be as tolerant of that statement? I wonder. Well, what if someone said that the Hispanic gangs that are taking over so many parts of America should go back where they came from? Would you consider that intolerant of them? Or are you of the opinion that San Diego, Los Angeles, Arizona, and New Mexico is occupied land and that we should give it back to the Mexicans, and the drug gangs really are only, they're freedom fighters? That the MS-13 gang and the other tattooed folk who are outgunning the police and overrunning Arizona in particular are just simply the vanguard of fairness. And that Arizona, for example, should be given back to Mexicans because it's occupied land. Is that what you think? Do you actually believe that? Borders, language, culture. The essence of a nation defined by borders, language, and culture. I have a question for you. I'm going to ask you a question again. Do you believe it's possible that the entire military intelligence complex in this government, with all of the intelligent men and women in the military and in the intelligence communities, do you believe that there are no leaders in those communities who have asked themselves whether or not Obama is qualified to be a commander-in-chief? Does he have dual allegiances? Why is America falling apart? Why is he doing nothing with regard to the Gulf ecological crisis? Why do you suppose these things are all happening? You've had an economic crisis that was engineered. All evidence points to the fact that the economic meltdown was engineered prior to the election of Obama, specifically to put him in power. That's number one. And then when he was in power, his stealing of $1 trillion out of the economy for the stimulus fund, the money has gone to census workers, so far as we know, and no jobs have been created to speak of. Virtually no jobs have been created by Nancy Pelosi's scam. No jobs to speak of created by Nancy Pelosi's scam. $1 trillion stolen out of your children's future. Then, to top it all off, they take an independent private medical system and turn it into a socialized medical system, which will destroy America, break it apart, bankrupt it, whichever way you want to put it, greatly diminish medical care in the greatest medical inside the greatest medical system the world had ever seen. Destroy it. And you're saying to me that this is all happening by accident? Do you actually believe that there are no members of the military intelligence complex who are starting to say to themselves, they certainly wouldn't say it to each other because they're afraid they'll lose their job, very much the same way that Soviet-era officials had KGB operatives inside every element of the government, and if anyone stated disloyalty to Stalin, they were purged from the government. Same thing goes on today. No different. Purged. The walls have ears inside the government academic complex. The walls have ears in academia, the walls have ears in the government, the walls have ears in the corporations. And if you say one word that is disloyal, if you say the king has no clothes, if you ask if he's qualified to be president, if you start to say, was it all engineered? If you say, why is America melting down by the day? Why is this man permitting a beetle to entertain him while the oil is destroying the Gulf Coast ecological system? You lose your job, you get thrown out of academia, or you lose your military appointment. And everybody knows that. So it's no different than the ex-Soviet Union in that regard. They had KGB officers. They were political officers who were there specifically to test to check on the loyalty of the members of the submarine, for example. Did you know that every submarine that went to sea, every ship that went to sea in the ex-Soviet Union, had a political officer aboard? And what was the political officer's job? It was to make certain that all of the sailors, for example, on the ship were loyal to the Soviet Union, meaning they didn't ask any questions about their mission or their government. Is it any different today? Is it any different today in the United States of America? Can a United States member of the armed forces ask a question about Obama's qualifications as commander-in-chief? Is he qualified to be commander-in-chief? Would they last in the military one day? Well, you saw what happened to those two who said they didn't even want to follow orders because they don't believe he's a citizen. You saw what happened to them. So again, I have to ask, do you actually believe that there are no men and women inside the intelligence communities who are asking, is this man loyal to America? Look at what he's doing to the country. It's impossible that they're not asking it. It's a logical conclusion. If you're in the intelligence business, you have to use your mind, don't you? Don't you have to ask questions about the enemy? Don't you have to worry about people within your own... let's say you're running a bank of computers inside the Department of Homeland Security or inside the FBI, and you're on the lookout for people who want to destroy the American way. Aren't you afraid that inside your office there are people who want to destroy the American way? Do you have any way to check to see if inside the FBI's offices itself, there are enemies of America? You must have that. Some kind of internal check. Every organization has that. Don't they? I mean, do they have that anymore or not? And what if someone asks a question about Obama? Are they automatically purged out of the FBI or out of the DHS? It's never happened before where there's been this kind of climate in the United States government. Never. Where he's gone after people in the media. He's actually attacked people in the media who disagree with Mr. Thinskin. Attacked them from the government platform. Never happened before. Unheard of. And now we have Helen Thomas. Jews should go back to Germany and Poland. Now, this woman is not just an ordinary crackpot working for the Kansas City Star in the obit department. This woman has White House press credentials. I state she should have her press credentials torn away from her right this minute. She is entitled to her opinion. That is true. She is not entitled to be a member of the White House press corps. That is also true. Yes or no? James in New York City on WOR, your opinion counts. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, doctor. How are you? I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I follow your program just recently, and I'm very moved by what you have to say because I believe in everything you say. I'm conservative. I have to tell you, I know about Castro, and I see Obama as a carbon copy, because I remember my father came from Spain. I'm a white Euro-Hispanic, by the way, and right. We're getting a bad rap, by the way. He joined World War One, and my brother's fought in World War Two, and my brother was at Normandy, so we have an experience. My father said, remember my father saying in the '50s that this guy Castro, he's a communist. My father said he knew it. He said he was a fifth columnist. I knew about fifth column movement.
Oh, he was he was an out and out communist. He said he was a communist.
Well, he didn't say it when he was in this country. I don't remember him.
Wait, let's start again. You mean Castro didn't say it when he was here? Do you know that Castro went to boarding school in the upper Manhattan? Did you know that?
Yes, I did. And you know
very few people know that Fidel Castro went to boarding school in Manhattan. They don't know that.
People don't know that. But my father said, this man, my father used to hear his speeches. He said, I know what this guy
is. You know that Fidel Castro is a lawyer. You know that, don't you?
Absolutely. And
right.
I think he went
in a long line of the lawyers who overtook Russia. In a long line of the lawyers who have now taken over America, like Obama.
Right. And that's why I believe Obama is a fifth columnist. I really believe that. I think he's setting a whole show business for this kind of thing. Because when Castro got...
Yes, but remember, Obama didn't grow in a Petri dish. Obama was handpicked by the most powerful people on Earth to bring about worldwide socialism by taking on America's the most powerful anti-socialist government on Earth, which is the United States of America. You don't have to bother with the smaller countries. You start with the most powerful, and you bring them down, and that's the rest of the world follows. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, my brother was doing business in Cuba when Castro moved in there, and when Castro moved in there, that's when he made the announcement that I'm a communist. You remember that, right?
I do. I go back that far. I have all the evidence in my new book, which is in the publisher's hands, that will point out everything you are saying, and then some, in absolute detail. We have absolute evidence that the financial crisis was engineered from the top down in order to bring Obama to power and then to give him unprecedented power. And we have only seen the beginning of what damage this man will do to this country unless he is, unless the people awaken. Let's put it to you that way.
Absolutely.
Why is he doing nothing with regard to the greatest ecological disaster in American history? Why do you suppose he's doing nothing?
I think he wants.
Does anyone have an idea why Obama is doing nothing in the midst of the worst ecological crisis in American history? Why is he doing nothing?
He's anti-American. He really is.
Well, but no, there's a goal here. Remember what they said? The Alinsky School never let a crisis pass by without taking advantage of it. So this is the greatest crisis America has seen, actually, since 9/11. So what advantage do you think Obama can take from the Gulf disaster, the oil disaster? What is he doing with regard to this crisis? He's letting the oil kill the ecosystem, destroying the beaches, the tourist industry, the fishing industry, the drilling industry itself. They say that 50,000 jobs are going to be lost as a result of him attacking the drilling industry. What do you think is his next step?
Well, to control it, the government to control all of it.
That's correct. They want the government to take over the drilling industry, not simply to legislate it, but to control it. But since nobody in the government knows how to drill 4,000 feet below the surface, what they would do is they get the contracts in the hands of Nancy Pelosi and Waxman and the other gangsters who stole the medical system from us. And those criminal gangsters would then let the contracts out through their cronies as middlemen, who would then wind up giving it to the actual drillers, who would be BP all over again. That's exactly what they have in mind. They want to steal the drilling contracts.
That's right. You say it perfectly.
Well, all right. I say it the way it is. Who do you think is going to get the medical contracts that Pelosi and Waxman stole? What do you think? They're just going to do it for the good of humanity? You're telling me that companies weren't set up in advance to receive the contracts as middlemen? Are you people that naive to not see what Pelosi and Waxman just did? You don't see it? Well, it's all spelled out in my book. Thank God it's out of my hands. Because if I ever said what I just said to you, and I said the book hasn't been submitted, I'd have to live behind locked doors with five armed guards. It's out of my hands. The publisher is setting it in press right now. The worst thing that could happen to the enemies of the truth is that something happens to me. Because then the book will sell 10 million copies. Right now I know it's going to sell 1 million copies. But let's not talk about how many books sell. Let's talk about how much truth sells. Can the truth still sell? With the unknown president letting a crisis of this magnitude go on and on and on. Today having a soccer league in the White House. Last night having that despicable drug peddler Obama, what the heck, that despicable English drug peddler, what's his name in the White House, McCartney, and today putting pearls and lipstick and makeup on that wonderful beast from Harvard, the lifetime incompetent communist who got where she is by pushing everyone around with lawsuits from day one. Yes, show up and sue everybody. Oh, you're not advancing me? I'm a woman. Oh, you're not advancing me? I'm a lesbian. Oh, you're not advancing me? I'm going to sue. Next thing, she's at Harvard. Next thing, she's the dean of Harvard. Sue. Now, all of a sudden, wow, look how far she got by threatening lawsuits. So now she's going to be on the Supreme Court. The final reward for the Manchurian president is the Supreme Court. This is what he wants. And if you think he's finished with Kagan, if God forbid he should get this unqualified individual onto the Supreme Court, you are mistaken. If I were you, I'd be worried about the members of the Supreme Court who are still living and breathing, who are not liberals. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Any comments on Israel? We're arresting everybody today. Any comments on Israel?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You think Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
That is the White House correspondent who Obama loves the most, Helen Thomas. That's the man holding his arm around her on Drudge Report right now. Jews, get out of Israel, go back to Poland. I've never seen anything like this. I'm living through a nation melting down literally like Chernobyl. The nation is like Three Mile Island under Obama. It's imploding, falling down right around us. And we have a nowhere man invited to the White House to win an American prize for Songster of the Year. Best Songster of the Year. He invites a man who promulgated drug, sex, and rock and roll. Not an American artist. Stevie Wonder won it last year. Instead, he chooses a foreigner, Paul McCartney, to get the Gershwin Award. And to top it all off, Obama, Hussein Obama, does not even say it's the Gershwin Award as he awards it to McCartney because Gershwin was Jewish. And then the next day, the nation is beast-slapped by Helen Thomas, who says go back to Poland and Germany. And she doesn't get her White House press credentials stripped from her immediately. And, of course, you have to ask yourself, the big picture is, why is he doing nothing in the face of the greatest ecological disaster America has ever seen? He can't be that ignorant of the fact that the people are aware of this. And where is his chief of staff? Why am I the only person in America saying, where's Rahm? Where's Rahm? Where's Rahm? Have you ever seen a president stripped or denuded of an advisor of this magnitude for 3 weeks at a time with the press not asking where the advisor is? Why is he still out of the country? Where is Rahm Emanuel? Where is he? You got a crisis in Israel. You got a crisis in the Gulf. You got a crisis in Wall Street. Everywhere you turn, a crisis, and his chief advisor is nowhere to be found, and no one in the press says, where is the chief of staff? Except me on talk radio, the man who they want off talk radio, because they want government news all the time. But again, I'm going to make it very clear for you so you understand how all of this works. They took over the medical system. It was privatized, and they made it virtually a public system that the government's going to run because the contracts are going to run through Pelosi, Pelosi's friends, and through Waxman's friends, and the others who divided up the spoils of the medical system. And that's why the costs will go up tenfold with less care. That's number one. So what's left? Big oil. So what do they want? They don't actually want the oil industry to go away. They want to control it and own it so they can make more money. Do you remember when the Russian oligarchs, who the Russian oligarchs are? How did they get their fortunes? Who are the Russian oligarchs that own 500-foot private yachts? Where did they make their fortunes? They stole the natural resources of Russia. They stole the oil. They stole the gas. They stole the minerals. Don't you remember that? And then when Putin came back to power, he let them live and he let them be oligarchs, except when they tried to get into politics, and then he pursued them relentlessly and put one of them in jail when he dared try to enter politics. It was okay for them to steal the natural resources, the Russian oligarchs, but it wasn't okay for them to try to steal the power. Now we have a reverse here. You got people who stole their way into power, and now they're going to steal the natural resources at the same time. The taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. Steal the power center, and then steal the resource center. And the schmuck American people have their hats on backwards, and they're worried about who's on first, what the score is. That's what they're worried about. And the wells keep leaking, 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 and he's doing nothing. Today he invited a soccer team to the White House. Last night he had the Paul McCartney, the genius, who put down President Bush in my country. I say throw the filthy bum out. What the hell was his music about anyway? It was encouraging people to becoming sluts and drug addicts. Think about the Beatles' music. What the hell did he promote that was so wonderful? Slutdom and drugs. No wonder he was invited to the White House to be given the Gershwin Prize. Gershwin must be turning over in his grave. Last year, Stevie Wonder won it. He should win it. Stevie Wonder is a wonder, and he's American. So why did Obama choose to give it to McCartney? Because McCartney serenaded Michelle with the song Michelle. He has his minstrel.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help!
It goes without saying that this has been a very difficult time. We've gone through a difficult year and a half, and right now our thoughts and our prayers are with friends in another part of the country that is so rich in musical heritage. The people of the Gulf Coast.
And open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down.
Well, the news today is getting worse by the minute. Obama yodels while the oil churns is my headline on Michael Savage, because the man is disconnected from reality. Either he wants the oil to destroy the ecosystem of the Gulf, which it is doing and has done, or he's incapable of stopping it because he doesn't have the knowledge base to do it, or they're so corrupt that they're trying to figure out how to make money off it. Nothing makes sense here. All I know is that if this was a Republican administration and this ecological disaster that is occurring would be going on under a Republican administration, there'd be riots in the streets. But because the hardworking conservatives of America do not riot, we have an administration that is getting away with virtual murder, a murder of the environment in this case, and murder of America's reputation in another case, and the murder of Israel. But there is a soundbite from the old hag, Helen Thomas, who's been around forever, in the White House press corps, where she is quoted as saying, Jews should get the hell out of Palestine, go back to Germany and Poland, while being interviewed at the White House Jewish Heritage Celebration. Now, we don't know why she was there, but a reporter asked Helen Thomas if she has any comments on Israel, and she says, the Jews should get the hell out of Palestine, go back to Germany and Poland. Can you believe this? Now, that would be the same as the kind of rhetoric we heard during Hitler's Germany, that they didn't want to harm the Jews, they should just leave Germany and go back to their homeland in Palestine. Remember that? Well, now that the Jews are back in their homeland in Palestine, the same mentality, in this case, Hitler in a girdle, Helen Thomas, and the radical leftist movement, again wants the Jews to be displaced. Once again, we're seeing the ugly face of fascism. Only this time it is disguised in the ugly face of liberalism. Make no mistake about it. The liberals of today, the ultra-liberals of today, are in fact the descendants of the Nazis of the past. And I stick by my words. I stick by my words. If you suspect that I am wrong, then you rip off the rock that these rats hide under, and you'll find that every one of them is a fascist at his core. Helen Thomas, White House press corps, says Jews should get the hell out of Palestine, go back to Germany and Poland, while being interviewed at the White House Jewish Heritage Celebration. Same rhetoric that Hitler used, that the Jews should leave Germany and go back to where they came from, which is Palestine. So now the Jews should go back to where? Poland and Germany? Well, that would be like saying the people in the United States should get the hell out of the United States Southeast and give it back to Mexico because we're occupying it. I haven't heard that yet of you. Soon coming to the White House? Possibly. Possibly. That's why I say Obama yodels while the oil churns. Of course, the unemployment figures are also being rigged by this imposter. All of the job creation was in government jobs, mainly low-paying hourly census workers. And even shockingly more than this, if they lay off a census worker and then rehire the census worker, that counts as two jobs. So they could lay off the same worker five times and rehire them. That could be five jobs that they report. That's your Obama for you. Question. The jobs report came out today, and most of the hiring was due to the government jobs with the U.S. Census. Is Obama any different than dictators such as Hugo Chavez, who try to increase their power base by spreading around low-paying government jobs in exchange for votes? By the way, the Dow dropped over 300 points today. Who do you blame? Everyone's blaming Obama. Why Obama? Well, figure out why Obama. He's attacking the oil industry when 99% of our entire country is run on oil or hydrocarbon-based fuel. 94% of every machine in this country, 94% of every machine in this country is based on hydrocarbon. And so if you have a president who's so his psychosis is so great that he thinks that we can turn it over to solar energy overnight, of course he's destroying the economy. Hey, look at all the uncertainty and instability that Obama's creating. It's no wonder the economy is shaky. Gold prices have been going through the roof, and that's why you should contact my great advertisers at Swiss America. Obama might be laying the economy low, but gold is defying that trend. Go to the best name in gold, SwissAmerica.com. This is the Savage Nation. It's getting worse, and I'll give you a little bit more. Let's give you a little bit more. Let's turn to Israel. Now, we keep hearing that the Love Boat was only bringing in supplies, no weapons, to Hamas-controlled Gaza. Now, first of all, Hamas-controlled Gaza, which the illiberal left seems to be in love with, has said it is the enemy of Israel and wants Israel obliterated. But Hamas claims it's the victim when Israel uses a blockade to stop Hamas from rearming. I want to remind you that the U.S. blockaded Japan and Germany in World War II. The United States blockaded Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis when missiles were being shipped into Cuba by the Russians. So I ask, why shouldn't Israel be able to blockade in order to protect the lives of its people? Now, it is true the ships headed to Gaza were not on a mission solely to bring in weapons. In fact, there were no weapons. But the fact is, those people in Gaza refused to accept Israel's offer to bring in their humanitarian cargo to an Israeli port so they could be inspected for weapons. The whole object was never to bring in humanitarian supplies. It was to embarrass Israel and break the blockade so that Iran could create a port a few miles away from Israel and destroy Israel. Remember, in the past, Israel has caught ships with Iranian weapons headed to Gaza. They can't allow that to continue. Israel has several ways to defend itself, all of which the international community is trying to take away from it. Israel must not permit this. They must not permit this. These Gaza-bound ships were out to kill them. Remember, just remember this. Every week, 10,000 tons of food, medicine, and other humanitarian supplies are being sent by Israel to Gaza. Did you know that? No, you didn't know that. That's because you're a useful idiot. So you see, the world seems to be tired of the Jews again. They want the Jews to get out of the Middle East. They want the Jews to go back to Poland or Germany. Just ask Helen Thomas, Hitler's wife in a girdle. You must read the article, Poof Goes the Myth About Obama, by Jennifer Rubin, that we posted up on Michael Savage, linking it up from commentary. And she quotes Stuart Gottlieb of Yale University's Jackson Institute for Global Affairs, where he writes, from the earliest days of the campaign, the Obama movement contained two political time bombs. First, the curse of absurdly high expectations. Well, blame us for that. We're going to change America, then we're going to change the world. And second, electing to office a president with no governing or leadership experience. And now the chickens are also coming home to roost on a leadership incompetency question. It will be difficult, if not impossible, to rebuild the Obama brand because it never really existed as a tangible thing in the first place. In other words, you were conned. You were conned.
Savage.
Such a fantastic evening for me. I mean, getting this prize would just be good enough, but getting it from this president and Mr. President said, you know, we're going through difficult times on a number of fronts, but when I knew I was coming here tonight, I knew I had to say that even though we all know you've got lots of really difficult issues to deal with, I just want you to know you have billions of us who are rooting for you, and we know you're going to come through.
You hear that? Today's irrelevant Paul McCartney after receiving the Gershwin Award at the White House. Joining us now for our Eye on Hollywood is James Herson.
I guess we'd have to call this segment Oil Spills with the Stars. As the undersea oil volcano, and that's what I have to call it, in the Gulf, continues to destroy the ecosystem, the Obama administration is showing signs of desperation and maybe a bit of a fantasy fixation.
Why is that?
I mean, they are now turning to celebrities from the entertainment world to help stop the oil from flowing into the ocean water. I mean, after all, who is smarter than a Hollywood celebrity? I mean, according to these folks. First, we had actor, director, Sundance Film Festival co-founder Robert Redford. Redford appeared in ads. The ads called on the government to do more about the spill. Quote, "The Gulf disaster is more than a terrible oil spill," Redford said in the ads. "It's the product of a failed energy policy, one that puts oil company profits ahead of people and the environment." A typical Redford demonizing the oil company message. But Redford must be elated. He may think his ads influence the president because now Obama has threatened to do away with the incentives for oil production. Obama and Redford want us to abandon oil right away for green technology, but unfortunately, there's no viable alternatives in the green world that would substitute for our current oil-dependent, energy-dependent economy. And then we have Kevin Costner, who had contact with the sea when he directed Waterworld. And that was a film in 1995. It was about survivors on a submerged Earth who fought for fossil fuel. Well, Costner invested his money from other films because Waterworld didn't do very well. He invested in technology for cleaning up ocean-based oil spills.
Really?
Now, Costner's help here is legit. This guy has oil spill separation machines have been in the making for more than 15 years. He teamed up with his brother, and Costner's brother is a scientist. And Costner spent about $26 million since the Exxon Valdez disaster to fund the development of oil filtration technology. BP agreed to test the actor's high-speed centrifuge that he calls ocean therapy. And Costner said that his technology had been prepared to go out and solve problems, not talk about them. Not talk about them. Sounds like a slam against a certain resident of Pennsylvania Avenue who seems to talk a lot and use a teleprompter. Anyway, working like a big giant vacuum cleaner, ocean therapy separates the oil and it puts clean water back out into the sea. And Costner bought this technology from the military years ago to work on improving it. And Costner's not the one out there lecturing his ideas. He hired experts to develop the technology, and it really could help the cleanup, but probably won't help with the continued flow of oil into the water that has to be brought to a standstill. And that's what really has to be done. So the Obama administration went out to consult other experts to help stop the spill. And they turned to a guy who specializes in make-believe. James Cameron, director of Avatar, was called into a meeting of experts by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, to come up with answers on how to, as the president says, plug the hole.
You can't be serious.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking maybe this is some kind of joke, but it's true. Instead of calling on leading scientists, leading engineers, this White House seeks the sage advice of a movie director.
This is unbelievable to me.
And what movie director? James Cameron. This guy's a radical, Al Gore-loving environmentalist.
What a surprise.
Having inserted this insipid New Age green propaganda story into his Avatar movie. But he did direct and produce a number of deep sea documentaries and the undersea thriller called The Abyss. And Obama must love the fact that this director publicly referred to BP officials as morons. Yeah. Cameron said that BP turned down his offer to help with the oil spill. And how can you turn down the great director? Quote, "Over the last few weeks, I've watched with growing horror and heartache what's happening in the Gulf and thinking those morons don't know what they're doing," Cameron said. The director has worked with robot submarines and he's an expert in undersea filming, but he's never fixed a broken oil pipeline. And you know what? Those morons have. Cameron said that the experts who took part in the EPA meeting wrote it all down. All of his great ideas, put it in reports, and it's going out to the various agencies. He said that he knows really, really, really smart people. That was three reallys, Michael. That work typically at depths even greater than where the well is. And by the way, the oil well's down a mile. But for sure, Cameron could help with going down there and filming the oil leak. In fact, Cameron would have the spill coming right at you in 3D, and probably it would appear at your nearest IMAX theater. And after all, this is fiction we are talking about. Cameron specializes in fiction.
Mm-hmm.
If the White House is looking into the world of fiction to solve the oil spill problem, perhaps they should call Spider-Man and have him plug the hole with some of that gooey web stuff. Or maybe bring in magician David Copperfield, and he could make the whole thing disappear. But for now, they have the copious notes they took when a Hollywood director, James Cameron, who never solved a real problem in the oil business, imparted his brilliant ideas. Apparently, the White House forgot the ending of Cameron's second most famous film, Titanic. Thanks, Michael, for keeping the Savage Nation afloat. Back to you, my friend.
Thanks for the update, James.
Savage.
Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks, Michael. Always a pleasure to be with you and the Savage Nation audience with these health and healing and freedom updates. There are big stories about super germs today becoming even bigger problems despite all of the technology and government-sanctioned medicine Obamacare thrown at it. You know, over the years of the growth of the methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus MRSA infections, which are in fact just resistant, they express different DNA so that they can literally eat methicillin, an antibiotic, for lunch, as opposed to being eaten by the antibiotic. Now, this is happening with a lot of different microbes. The latest that they're very concerned about in the medical profession is Clostridium difficile, C. diff, as it's known. I'm hearing more and more about the C. diff, and they're saying it may supersede MRSA as the most dangerous superbug created by medicine.
Unbelievable.
And the concept of let's say, solving a problem from within the same consciousness that created the problem is a bit difficult for me to comprehend, because it has been created because of the abuse, overuse of some tools that may be life-saving when used in those times that they are genuinely needed. But irresponsible use of medicine is irresponsible no matter if the medicine is good or bad. And the question we should be asking is not only of the pharmaceutical profession, so to speak, as to why they are pushing things to the point of danger, but about the politicians who believe they can solve problems that they create. And the mainstream media still seems to listen to these pundits. And the same ones don't know why the problem happened with our economy. They're the same experts that are going to for solutions. This is the kind of shallow thinking or lack of thinking, lack of cognitive, whether it be ability or application, that is running our country into the ground. And we've lost sight of the innovation that happens when freedom is a primary motivator, a primary purpose. Now, there's some good news here as well, in a story we've been following on the Savage Nation for many weeks, in fact, months now.
What is that?
The issue of the FDA suppressing the freedom of speech, trampling all over the First Amendment. And this relates to the humble trace element, trace mineral known as selenium. And more study than just about any other trace mineral around, and the evidence for its cancer protective properties and reversal properties is legend in the scientific field. It's not an unknown, but yet despite all of the peer-reviewed literature being submitted on behalf of or by the manufacturers of these selenium supplements, the FDA has continually refused to allow any reference, any mention on a label of selenium that it could protect against cancer, for instance, despite the fact that the science is in on this. And so there was a big suit. My dear friend Jonathan E. Mord, who we've talked about here, he's also part of the suit with the United States Citizens Association against Obama and Obamacare and Timothy Geithner, the whole crew. He also sued with the Alliance for Natural Health, the FDA, again, and won just last week.
Really?
He won for the seventh record-setting seventh time against the FDA. And they have been just, you know, resisting allowing any supplement company to use science as its alibi, which would seem to be a reasonable, let's say, limitation. You can't make wild, erroneous claims. Back them up. I'm all for that. But the FDA doesn't allow that. And it appears that the real reason it doesn't want health claims for food or supplements is probably because it fears that it will create competition for approved drugs and drugs that pay the agency's bills, which, of course, is a supreme conflict of interest. But the district court in D.C. said we won't have any of that, and we really need to address this. And this judge in the case, Ellen Huvel of the United States District Court of the District of Columbia, rendered a summary judgment, meaning that the case was so clear we didn't need to go to trial.
Wow.
And they have been violating freedom of speech, the FDA, for many years, claiming that there are no cancer-related health claims about the mineral selenium. They are not allowed unless the science was completely conclusive and irrefutable. Of course, even irrefutable science ultimately can be refuted. We know that. But to raise the bar to such a level that nobody could reach it is beyond unreasonable. And I, for one, am not part of the sheeple, neither are you or the Savage Nation audience. We feel like we can handle the information and make our own judgments about what we put into our bodies, whether it be a drug or whether it be a dietary supplement.
Exactly.
And although this case that EMORD won was based on selenium, it probably can open up a whole can of worms for the federal agency protecting the interest of Big Pharma and monopoly medicine, which is anti-freedom, because it brings to light the fact that there are a lot of other nutrient claims that could be made and should be made based on the peer-reviewed literature. And the FDA was instructed, go back. If you need to make a disclaimer, make it reasonable. And let's say apply the law as we have basically set down, going back to the case against Pearson versus Shalala so many years ago. And this was the Alliance for Natural Health against Sibelius. Big victory for those that believe in the freedom to know the science and be able to act on that. But of course, modern medicine and of course, Obamacare thrives as long as the people believe that they are incapable of dealing with their health issues without state-licensed intervention.
True.
And sure, it's fine to go to a doctor when needed, but at the point where we have given up our health sovereignty to such a degree that we can't even deal with a hangnail without calling on the government to somehow intervene. And I think the time has passed, Michael, way past that we can blindly rely upon central medical planning any more than we can rely upon central economic planning, because these are the things of socialism, of fascism, of communism, not a country, not a people that love liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be economic health, whether it be health, I think freedom is the answer. Of course, it is the enemy of monopoly. Now, we also have news out of the medical industry. Again, more FDA questions at this point. Now they're referencing some heartburn medicines. You know how many people are on heartburn medicine? And multi-billions of dollars are spent on addressing symptoms of heartburn, gastroesophageal reflux disease, GERD, or, oh my gosh, they give these acronyms and people don't know what to do. But now these heartburn medications being called into question because there is an increased risk of hip, wrist, and spinal fractures when people are either on high doses, which, you know, some happens, but more, the big problem I see are long-term use. People becoming dependent upon suppressing the expression of symptoms, which the body has maybe said, hey, maybe you're not eating right. Maybe you need to clean up your act. But no, just take this drug. Take the purple pill, whatever they call it. But these drugs are listed right out here in the media. They're acknowledging these things. You know of them. Nexium is listed here. Prevacid, Prilosec. Let's see, Prevacid 24-hour. I mean, these OTC and prescription drugs. Now, think about it this way, Michael. When you suppress the acid production in the stomach, which is designed by God to help us break down complex proteins, for instance, so that they can be broken down into forms that can be easily assimilable by the body and utilized in the amino acid form for building blocks for life itself, and you basically, with proton pump inhibiting drugs, just shut it down. You don't need that. What do you expect would happen? The lack of assimilation of key elements or nutrients that would build the integrity, for instance, of the skeletal system.
Right.
Of which is becoming, in evidence now, weakened by the over-reliance on proton pump inhibiting drugs. Never mind that in the dietary supplement field, you have enzymes. You can even take hydrochloric acid if you're not producing enough. But they never look at things like magnesium deficiency because it does not fit the paradigm of which, you know, what do we got to apologize for? The creator setting down the rules that we need nutrients and there are no drug deficiency diseases? So these are the kind of absurdities that have to be pointed out. And I think the people are becoming more aware of them as they see the absurdity of Obama and the entire executive branch, much less the FDA, the absurdity of allowing them to dictate what we should or should not put into our bodies or what we can or cannot know about that which we use as nutrition in prevention of disease or recovery from disease. It seems like a completely American ideal to allow the American people just to know the truth, know the facts, and act on them.
Sure.
But right now, we are still living under a form of tyranny. Again, Jonathan Emord, the lawyer that has beaten back the FDA so many times, talks about it in terms of a bureaucratic oligarchy being ruled by a bunch of bozos that have no elected accountability, and Congress just throws all of the responsibility to them. And when you complain to the Congress, they say, hey, it's not our fault. Talk to them in the oligarchy. The oligarchy goes back and says, hey, it's Congress. It's not us. Nobody takes responsibility. Sounds a lot like government, doesn't it?
Oh, I see.
And it gets even more absurd. These claims that supplements are horrible and drugs are great coming back from the federal authorities. Now we have news that fish oil, cod liver oil, these omega-3 essential fats that are necessary for life itself, endocrine function, neurological health, even issues of depression, and oh my goodness, so much. And they've turned fish oil into a drug. That's right.
You can't be serious.
There's an omega-3 fish oil that's a prescription drug. What was wrong with the food? And of course, you read about this. It's really astonishing because, you know, as we know, fish oil can deal with vascular issues, can reduce blood pressure, can reduce cholesterol issues if need be. And they convert it to a drug. And now there's a list of side effects that doesn't occur from the natural food.
No.
The most common, and I quote from their own advertisement here for Lovaza, the most common side effects of Lovaza include flu-like symptoms, infections, back pain, skin rashes, upset stomach, and a change in your sense of taste.
Unbelievable.
But it's even worse. It can also cause certain digestive issues, including dyspepsia and eructation, chest pain, migraines, and respiratory problems. But pardon me for saying, I think I'll stick to my dietary supplement, fish oil, rather than getting a prescription for something that comes with all of that.
Exactly.
Of course, they take something in its whole form, isolate out and purify out the ethyl esters, and then suddenly, bingo, we've got some undesirable or unintended consequences. And that's where I think the people are waking up here and saying, you know what? Drugs are fine when you need them, but for goodness sake, let us know the truth about the supplements so we can care for our health and then reduce the GDP, the 15-16% going into monopoly medicine and Obamacare only to get worse. And then we wouldn't need the abuse of that system. People wouldn't be going for everything because we'd have a healthier people. Of course, we can't have that. A healthier people don't need as much government. And that's not good for Washington, D.C., whether they're big government liberals or big government conservatives. I know the oxymorons are out. But again, the issue is one of freedom, Michael, and you're such a champion for the First Amendment, and I appreciate so much the opportunity to share these important messages right here on the Savage Nation.
Where can we read more?
Well, you can find out more on my blog at robertscottbell.blogspot.com, and I'd love to see all the Savage Nation listeners in the Chicagoland area. I'll be at the Health Freedom Expo June 4th, 5th, and 6th, and we've got a lot of healing and health freedom to do there.
Well, thanks for the report, Robert.
Such a fantastic evening for me. I mean, getting this prize would just be good enough. But getting it from this president.
More of the old woman look-alike, the Beatle McCartney, who should have gone into hiding many years ago. There are other stories. Check them all out at michaelsavage.com. Obama yodels while the oil churns. Obama may use executive privilege to withhold Kagan documents. How in the world can you tolerate a president who is clearly a dictator? How can he withhold documents about a person he wants to put on a Supreme Court who we know is a radical, unqualified, leftist shill? I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Have you heard Helen Thomas, Hitler in a Girdle, saying the Jews should get the hell out of Palestine and go back to Germany and Poland?
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments on Israel?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh.
Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You're saying Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
This sounds like she just came back from a neo-Nazi rally. How can this media brown shirt be sitting in the White House press corps? Maybe you didn't believe what I just played for you. Go back to Germany and Poland? This fat piece of human offal is sitting there pretending to be a member of the press and laughing about it? This vicious Jew hater must be thrown out of the White House press corps immediately. By the way, who else was in the White House recently?
And now it's time for the Savage Nation Media Idiot of the Day.
Paul McCartney, who took the opportunity to attack Bush as an uneducated man.
This is such a fantastic evening for me. I mean, getting this prize would just be good enough. But getting it from this president and Mr. President said, you know, we're going through difficult times on a number of fronts. But when I knew I was coming here tonight, I knew I had to say that even though we all know you've got lots of really difficult issues to deal with, I just wanted you to know you have billions of us who are rooting for you, and we know you're going to come through. I want to just say one more time that it's a fantastic honor, the Gershwin family, to give me this incredible award and for me to be awarded it by the Library of Congress. And in fact, after the last 8 years, it's great to have a president who knows what a library is.
Paul McCartney, who never even finished high school, talking about the president with an MBA from Harvard, and here he is kissing Obama's behind.
The next song we like to do is a song I have been itching to do at the White House. And I hope the president will forgive me if I sing this one.
God, make it stop. I never thought he sounded that great 40 years ago, but this is just sad. Let's go to the regular stories on michaelsavage.com, the meat and potatoes of talk radio here. Showdown as aid ship nears Gaza. A cargo ship trying to break the blockade of Gaza could reach Israel's 20-mile exclusion zone today. We'll give you the update on the Savage Nation. Mexico opens California office to provide ID for illegals. Can you believe this one? It's astounding. I mean, I don't know what I'm watching here anymore. Dick Durbin's dastardly plan for your debit card. Read it on Michael Savage. Nation's payroll up 431,000 due to census hiring. Reality time at Gitmo. Obama backs away. The crowd pushing Obama to close the prison at Guantanamo should acquaint themselves with a stunning recommendation by his own task force. Don't close it, because they don't know where to put the terrorists. White House political team stumbles and bumbles, says Politico. $10 million for victim of mob cop. Did you hear about that? A Brooklyn man who spent 18 years behind bars after being framed for murder by a notorious mobbed-up NYPD detective settled a lawsuit yesterday for $9.9 million, a record for a civil rights suit against the city. Terrible, terrible story. It's on Michael Savage from the New York Post. You got to read it. Also, don't miss Jennifer Rubin's article, Poof Goes the Myth, about the myth of Barack Obama. Yeah, the myth of Barack Obama. And once again, I bring your attention to Healing Children Naturally, my book on the subject of health and nutrition for children, A to Z Natural Approaches for Natural Complaints, for parents and grandparents who care about their kids. Not available in bookstores, only on michaelsavage.com. Let's have a little rock and roll. But here we are, watching the world go by. It gets worse by the day. Every day gets worse, from hope and change to dope and strange in only 18 months. Stay tuned on your local affiliate, and of course, with God's will and your listenership,
Savage.